Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
From deep within the inflamed bowels of the Second Amendment desert that is New Jersey, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Hey, guys. Got a few extra special guests on the show today. We have the perennial Sherry Spivak from the SAW Group, Second Amendment Women's Group, on the show today. Hello, Sherry.
Hello. Thank you for having me on again.
You're welcome. And we have a huge Second Amendment right to carry advocate who I've known probably for close to 5 years now online. Met him in person about 3 or 4 years ago. Mark Cheeseman. How are you, Mark?
Great. Good. Great to be here. Thank you.
And we have another special guest who's been working very closely with Mark, with Mark's right to carry case, another Second Amendment advocate living in this state, Jay Factor. What's up, Jay?
Happy to be here.
Good. I'm glad I finally got you guys on the show, especially as we're taking this to the next level, because probably by spring we'll be spending a lot of time in Trenton. So I'm thinking about getting an apartment down there, actually.
You should, yeah.
Okay.
This administration.
Yeah, we're going to have to live down there. Now, Tony Simon's diversity shoot earlier this week had a busting at the seams event. We had about 90 people show up, about 50 of which were new, that never shot before. Mm. So kudos to Tony with
nice
the diversity
job.
Shoot. Yeah,
great.
Really good job. And that works hand-in-hand with Sherry here. You know, every time Sherry hosts a SAW Group event, I pop in to say hi. And every time now, I've noticed many more new faces.
We do. Yeah.
Right?
Every month, we come here once a month. We have the meetups here for going on, four years
about
now.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, since you opened the place, I guess. And every month, we're getting new people coming, not even necessarily people coming with others that are already part of the SAW Club, just hearing about it, maybe, you know, do you guys here or just around or other 2A groups. Always someone new shooting for the first time. It's great.
And that's our future. You know, if anybody follows Reverend Kevin Blanchard, who is Black Man with a Gun, not to be confused with Maj Touré, which is Black Guns Matter, but Reverend Ken Blanchard gave a speech once at a 2A event that I was at, and he was like, we have to get the moms. We have to get the women involved.
Definitely.
Because, right? Because they make the decisions in the household usually, and we have to win them over. And that's why I feel the SAW Group is such an important component.
Now, and new shooters, too. I mean,
correct.
The zeal that new shooters have. The reason we've lost everything in New Jersey is because there's too many, as Anthony puts it, FUDs, who basically have been shooting all their life. And, you know, they've been through this through Florio. They've been through this through all the other governors who have tried to strip us. And bit by bit by bit, we've allowed them to do it. The new people coming in have that new shooter zeal, who are willing to take a day off and go to Trenton, or willing to voice that, no, you're not going to, hey, wait a minute, I just got involved in this, and you're taking this away from me? Five-round magazine? What, you know.
We'll be planning buses to Trenton soon, too.
We definitely need some new blood in the fight, that's for sure.
Well, new blood that aren't armchair activists.
Yeah, right.
New blood that will get up off their butt and do it.
Boots on the ground, yeah.
I mean, how many hours did you drive to come up here today to do the show? 2.5 hours?
Oh, 111 miles.
111 miles to get up here, all right? So, Sherry, tell me, what's going on with SAW Group? How do people find you? How do people join? What are the classes? You're supposed to have all this prepared. I don't see any paper in front of you.
I have my phone.
All right, go ahead, hit me.
Paper? What's paper?
My lifeblood.
Yes,
so we have our website. It's sawshootingclub.com, and we're also on Facebook, which you can click through from our website. It's, I think, Second Amendment Women Shooting Club-SAW. And from there, you can also jump to our private discussion group, which is mainly women, and it's really, we keep it a very solidly a discussion group. There's no, you know, there's many 2A Facebook groups where you can find out all kinds of information about what's going on in New Jersey. That can be shared in our group as well, but we try to keep it focused on things that affect women and questions that new shooters have and that kind of.
Do you get a lot of questions like, I have kids in the house, how should I secure my firearms? Do you get that?
We do get questions when they show up.
Okay.
When people might not post those kind of questions online, but Sandy and I
it
do get a lot
New
of
Jersey,
questions.
It is New Jersey, yeah.
How much is it a year to be a member?
Right now it's $25 a year. I know there's going to be some fantastic benefits when you open the new place, so I would suggest people join now. So they can get in on that. We did have some requests for a lifetime membership, so we did create that. It's $200 for a lifetime membership to SAW, which gives you a lot of benefits here and at other places, other ranges and other places in New Jersey, and $10 a month when we come to shoot here.
$10 a month if you're a SAW member. And what are your upcoming events that are coming up?
February 12th, we have our next meetup here at 7 o'clock. And then let me look at my list. February 25th, we have that cane class.
Okay, that's the Atenza Cully Protective Cane class.
I can't tell people enough how fantastic those guys are. I've taken the pen class, the knife class,
great.
The cane class. And it's not just the information that they're sharing that's so relevant for when you're taking the class, but they're fantastic instructors.
You know, the cane can also be supplanted with an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And they refer to an umbrella. I bought one from Amazon.com. It's a fiberglass unbreakable umbrella. So you can carry an umbrella like you're from the United Kingdom. And they teach some really good defensive tactics with it. You know, you can carry a cane onto a plane.
Yeah, that's what's great.
You know, I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time. They take, if Jay tried to get on a plane with a nail clipper, they take it. Mark can get on with a screwdriver if it's under 7 inches long. That's
really?
TSA. Yeah, TSA
yeah.
guidelines.
Right. Okay.
You can get on with a screwdriver under 7 inches, but Jay has that little sissy nail clipper, you know, the little follower. The TSA takes that, and then they give him a cavity search. okay, but you walk right by with a slotted screwdriver, 6 3/4 inch long. And the cane class is good. It's funny because the cane class, when we have the unisex one, you'll have 10 students and 3 actually use canes.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 are just there to learn the way of the cane, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of their classes are very use similar movements and flow. So I think it's a good class to start off with also.
For you listeners out there, the Atenza Cully family, they train Navy SEALs, Delta Force, and operatives all over the world. They travel all over the world. And their only place they train in New Jersey is at our place. And then they train at Urban Jungle in New York City. That's the only mm-hmm. two places on the East Coast.
I wish I could get there. I spoke to them when they came, when I took the cane class, and they said, hopefully, you know, maybe when you open the new place, they'll be able to
here. We are. We're going to have monthly classes here.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that people can sign up for so you can come and hone your skills. All right, enough, Cully. What else do you have going on? So that's February 22nd?
That is February 25th.
It's a SAW-only event, cane?
It's SAW and SAW families. If you want to take it with your spouse or your teenage child, we will have that for this class. And then we have April 16th, which is one of our meetups. We're going to do an intro to shooting event that night, which we've done before. It's not your full-length first step type pistol class. It's more of just a short directed class for people that have questions, who have never shot before, or people who have shot before but don't come to the range every day and they just have questions. So it's really student-driven.
I like that. What I like is that the SAW group, the two heads of the SAW group, you and Sandy, are women. And because you see, there's women groups out there that have men leaders
mm-hmm.
in them. Or they hold a woman's event and it's the guys that are teaching it.
Yeah.
And, you know, women have specific questions and specific needs. I mean, women have the maternal instinct. How the hell can I talk about the maternal instinct? My thing is that if they're, you know, with kids, if the shit hits the fan, I push my kids in the direction of the bad guys,
sure.
And then I run, you know. Women with the maternal instinct, they stand and fight, right? The mama bear mentality, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Right? Right. So I like that, and I always like to drop in the classes and hear them. So we're going to get more in a minute. How do you find SAW Group?
Online, sawshootingclub.com.
Join or buy a membership for your spouse or daughter or significant other now.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites. LibertyOfficeSuites.com has two locations, one on Changebridge Road in Montville and one on New Road in Parsippany. Check out Ron Seuss's place for as little as $58 a month. You can have a professional environment. It's basically a per-use timeshare for a professional environment. So if you sell insurance or anything else, you don't have to work out of your van with all of those receipts on the dashboard, et cetera, et cetera. Check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Now, Mark and Jay, you guys are going to talk about this. People are going to want to know where they can go and find out more about this. So before we do anything else, Mark, pass it on where people can find out what's going on with this case, your carry case, please.
I have a Facebook page, New Jersey Firearms Syndicate, and we've posted an awful lot of information on there. The brief is posted on there, and I'm going to be giving updates on that page. That's the New Jersey Firearms Syndicate.
New Jersey Firearms Syndicate.
Owner Syndicate, yes.
You can also send Anthony at Gun for Hire an email, and I can put you in contact with Mark if you're interested in any of the finer points or you want to do something offline with him. Maybe you're a lawyer, you're looking to help, or maybe even financial help. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. So Mark and Jay, let's go. Give us a synopsis, and then Sherry's got questions for you.
All right, I'm going to give you just a brief history of what happened, and then I'm going to let Jay talk. On December 13th, 2017, myself and John Gilliard went into Gloucester County Court and applied for carry permits. It's kind of ironic, and just by dumb luck, we ended up living in the same county. We went to the same judge, and we were heard on the same day. And we were both denied for, of course, lack of need. And we started talking a little bit, you know, where do we go from here? What are we going to do? And I said, listen, I caught a guy out of a corner of my eye about 2 years ago by the name of Jay Factor. He was a historian, and he's got some really good information that I don't think has been brought to light. Why don't we talk to Jay and see if he's willing to come in and give us a hand, give us some direction, possibly write a brief, and let's move this into the appellate division and possibly go federal with it. So started talking to Jay a little bit about it, and the three of us decided that, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do. So we are presently filed with the appellate division. We're waiting to hear back from them on that. And we do have a brief ready, and I'm going to let Jay talk a little bit more about the brief, but we are looking to essentially put New Jersey back the way it was in, what was it, about 1968, Jay?
66.
So okay. Tell us, Jay, why is this case? Tell us about the angle and what you feel about this case. Everybody, we all want to hear it, including Sherry, because she's dying to carry a gun.
All right. So the difference, what we're trying to do here from what everyone else is trying to do, most people who apply for a carry permit are looking to get a carry permit for themselves. What we're trying to do is change the administrative code and the precedent in the Supreme Court to throw out the urgent necessity standard, which is not in the statute. And we're not attacking the statute, so we're not going to go up against the same precedent from Drake. We have no problem with the justifiable need standard in 2C58-4. As far as we're concerned, and this is the argument we're going to make in court, is that justifiable need is the exact same definition as Heller's lawful purpose, and self-defense is a lawful purpose. Actually, if you open up Black's Law Dictionary and look at lawful purpose and justifiable need, they define out to be the exact same thing. So what we're attacking is, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, we'll go into it a little bit more detail today, the Sicardi rule, which is from 1971. And the Sicardi rule requires an urgent necessity for self-protection. It requires previous attacks, documentation of previous attacks. Most likely you're going to have to have documented them with your police department. And the specific...
Do you need a signed affidavit from the guy who attacked you, or...?
I'm thinking that's somewhere unwritten in the rule.
Someplace.
Yeah. So obviously
it is New Jersey.
You've heard this before. The other one is serious threats. So you would need documentation of your serious threats.
And JR, I just want to interrupt you for a second. That John Gilliard, and I can't go into his personal letter of need. I saw his letter of need the night before we went into court. This guy's a combat vet here. He has all of the above: specific threats, serious threats, and urgent necessity. He's got it all.
And previous attacks.
And previous attacks. Everything.
But
and still denied.
Knappen says we only issue carry permits in New Jersey posthumously, though. Right? After you're dead, then you've justified you had a serious threat.
That is correct.
That's the way the Sicardi rule was designed.
Correct. That's the way the Sicardi rule from 1971 was designed. We've had tons of lawyers on the show, and how many times has Sicardi come up?
Right.
From Dan to Evan to Scott, Sicardi.
Because
Jensen.
It set precedent.
Correct. So go ahead. I'm sorry, guys. So keep it up, Jay. I like what I'm hearing so far.
Okay. So I think sometimes it's overlooked because there's so much information in Heller. But on page 2821, which is the last page before they actually give the decision to give Dick Anthony Heller the permit, the court says, and they're actually talking about Justice Breyer, the dissenting opinion, who's saying that they should be able to decide cases on a case-by-case basis. So what they're saying is that they can have an interest balancing test, that if you're needy enough in the eyes of the government, that will overlook their public safety concerns, that they'll issue you a permit.
So a need by need basis. We're going to keep the draconian laws in, but Sherry, you're really, it's just a serious case, so we're going to give your permit, but the other 16,000 people who are in line going to wait, basically.
And they will probably stop the court case and just give Sherry her permit if it gets super serious, because they don't want to establish precedent that people can actually get.
We've seen that
permits.
In Mueller case,
right.
And we've seen that in Almeida. Right. Right?
Yes.
Okay, here's your permit. Go away.
Right. Right.
So the specific wording of Heller says you could no longer determine Second Amendment rights on a case-by-case basis. And that's not an exact, I'm not working with notes, it's off the top of my head. But New Jersey, in all of their cases, here's another one you hear all the time, Priest, right? Drew Priest, 1991 case. So Drew, that case of Priest, actually decided that the Sicardi rule was going to go mainstream and become part of the administrative code. So the Sicardi rule sat from 1971 to 1991 and never made it into the New Jersey record, never made it into the administrative code.
And let's not forget who was the governor in 1991.
We're not old enough. Who was it?
Well, I mean, it was a Democrat, and it was an anti-gun Democrat.
Exactly. And I think Priest was also a second test case.
All right, we'll be right.
For for many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by GunSitters. GunSitters.com is located on Route 10 East in Whippany. You can temporarily, long-term, short-term storage of your firearms. If you're moving, going through a domestic, Sherry and I can share stories. GunSitters bailed us both out, right, Sher? Yes. GunSitters.com. Check it out. Support those who support us. Go ahead, Jay. Jay, what's the name of this case called, by the way, guys? Is there a name on the
it'll
case?
It'll probably be Cheeseman-Gillard versus the state, or the state versus Cheeseman-Gillard.
Gotcha.
It'll probably just be Cheeseman when it's all said and done. So we're back in 1991 with Priest that actually set the precedent for getting the Sicardi rule into the administrative code. But it's not just Priest. So all the cases that matter, everyone, when you go to see the county judge and he tells you you can't have your permit, says New Jersey decides 2C58-4 permits on a case-by-case basis. Barinski, Wheeler, you want to go into the Third Circuit. Drake said the same thing. These guys apparently have never read Heller. So what we're doing
they don't want to talk about it.
We're not re-arguing the Second Amendment.
Right.
We're taking a small sentence that Heller said. Listen, it's a Second Amendment right. There are things that you can't do. And one of the things you can't do is decide them on a case-by-case basis. Because there is no standard. The government can do whatever they want at that point, which is what New Jersey does. All we're looking to do is take case-by-case determinations, the Sicardi rule, or what we would call now in the code 1354-2.4D1, which is the Sicardi rule written in the code, out of the law. So we want to get that thrown out of the code. It's no more good law. Heller's thrown it out, takes it out of the law, and we want the Sicardi rule to no longer be precedent. Good precedent from the New Jersey Supreme Court. You take those two things out. When you go apply for a 2C58-4 permit, justifiable need now means lawful purpose, and self-defense, according to Heller, is a lawful purpose. That's all we're looking to do, is get rid of the code and the Sicardi rule. And
now, that was the original intent by Sills, correct?
All right, so this is another thing you need to know about 2C58-4. It wasn't designed by the legislature. Loretta's going to try to tell you that the legislature designed this and urgent necessity. It wasn't. In 66, from 63 to 66, it was designed by Arthur Sills, who was the attorney general at the time. So this predates the 68 federal gun control bill. What he was trying to do was make sure everybody had a background check. All he wanted was fingerprints. He wanted you to get the FID card. He wanted you to get the permit to carry. And when he draws it up, now there's paperwork, which I'll post on Mark's Facebook page, from March 2nd of 1966. It's called the A-165 debate, and it was all the legislators, it was Sills, and various gun control groups who were concerned about the new law. And Sills basically said, if you pass the background checks, you can get a permit to carry. Because that was a big concern back in those days, because back in those days, guys thought they needed a carry permit to go hunting. Guys thought they needed a carry permit to take their guns if they lived in Newark and they vacationed down the shore. They thought they needed a permit carry for that. Sills says, look, the only reason I took concealed carry out of the law was because I needed to get a background check on every single gun in the state. And we got guys now who are buying mail order guns, and we got guys who are going to Maryland to buy guns, and I just need to get a background check on everybody. If you pass the background checks, you meet our standards, and you can qualify for a permit to carry. So that's on 66 Alpha, 67 Alpha, 68 Alpha, and the A-165 debate. I'll post that up on Mark's page. Page 3, 4, 5, and 15 of the A-165 debate, Sills specifically says permits are going to be handed out post-1966 exactly as they were pre-1966, which means you could just write self-defense down on your application.
And they would give you a permit.
They would give you a permit. As a matter of fact, there was no letter of need back then. The section on the permit application for what your need was only about an inch long, so you really couldn't write a whole bunch in there.
Yeah. That's the way it is in every other free state.
Yeah, now, exactly.
Now what's the... I love the argument. I love the challenge here. What's the process through the courts now? Mark, you were denied, right?
Twice. Yeah.
Twice. Now, right. Now, where does it go? So our listeners can understand, what's the next step with this?
Well, we're waiting to hear a reply from the appellate court, and then we're going to present them with a brief and see what they do, what they decide on the brief. We expect the appellate court to agree with the lower court. Once that happens, that gives us the jurisdiction to go federal with it.
Okay.
So then we're going to go federal with it.
And then the federal court, our district court, is liberal, so they're
right,
probably going to knock
it.
So you're hoping to put it before the Supreme Court ultimately,
I'm
right?
Hoping this stops the Third Circuit in New Jersey.
This is what I would say. After reading Catano the way that Alito beat the crap out of Massachusetts, they're very specific now on how the law is handled. So there's a case comes out in 2015. It's Freeman versus Highland Park, Supreme Court. And Alito and Thomas write an opinion in it. Now, the Supreme Court won't hear the case, but Alito and Thomas give an opinion. In their opinion, they basically said, look, we've told you the Second Amendment guarantees a right to bear arms. We told you bear arms means carry arms. And we also told you you can't run an interest balancing test. You can have standards, but you can't run an interest balancing test. And they specifically in Freeman cite the case-by-case determinations. So there's another case, 2015, I think, Seventh Circuit, the Puerta case, where that circuit actually makes fun of the Third Circuit and Drake for deciding Drake wrong. The Heller precedent is really starting to shift. If you guys remember when Heller first came out, New Jersey said, well, the Second Amendment is a federal Second Amendment. It doesn't apply to New Jersey, right? And so then when my permit application finally made it to the appeals court, they said, well, that's true. You're absolutely right. Heller says it's an individual right, but that doesn't apply to New Jersey through the 14th Amendment. So then in my case, I have it in writing. When McDonald comes out, they say Heller's an in-the-home case. So one of the things that I have in Mark's brief, which is just a gigantic five-page footnote, to preemptively get away from that challenge that Heller's an in-the-home case. Heller wasn't an in-the-home case. If you actually read the sections of D.C. law, when on 2822, when Heller says the district must issue, assuming Dick Anthony Heller is not disqualified from his Second Amendment rights, the district must issue him a permit to carry it in his home. That permit to carry it was R2C58-4 permit. The in-the-home, they didn't have a registration requirement quite like we did with 2C58-3 and with that 2C39 exemption, that 2C39-5 exemption that you could carry your -3 permit in your own house without having a carry permit. They didn't have that.
Gotcha.
So when they said he needs to get a permit to carry, that was a carry. If you go back and read Breyer and Stevens' dissent, they say it. That's a permit to carry anywhere in the district, not just in his home. So in New Jersey, when they myopically focus on that in the home, they ignore that there were 6 or 7 different D.C. statutes challenged. D.C. kind of caved on the carry permit, and they were like, well, if he passes the background check for the purchase permit for the -3, we're going to say that he automatically gets the -4.
Sherry, how much training would the SAW group be doing if Mark Cheeseman got everybody concealed carry in the state of New Jersey? Would you be busy, you think?
I think so.
I got a good story for you. Let me come back.
Yes, sir.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
This segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. County Line Firearms, NJ.com, Route 10 East Hanover, across from the Best Buy. Check out County Line Firearms, NJ. Check out their massive Glock collection and the customization. Sherry, you had a question for Jay and Mark. You hold that story too, Jay. Go ahead, let's hear it.
I had just asked if I listened to everything that you said, and like I said, I can't quote statute like you can, and there's just a lot of information there. So just to really, really simplify it for people that just really want to know, you know, what your argument is. So you're basically saying there's things in the statute that don't belong there, once they're removed, if you fight against that, once you get those out, then it takes away that individual.
Okay. The statute is written, and we accept it the way it was written.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same today as it was in 1966. What we're trying to pull out is the administrative code, which defines the rules of the statute, which was made up in 1971. It was actually made up in 1970, and that's what makes the rule so strict that you can't qualify for a permit to carry. The statute, the justifiable needs standard, you meet that. All you have to do is say self-defense, and pass your 2C your permit to purchase. If you have the FID card, you've already met the carry permit standard because you passed the background check.
So you're arguing to get that administrative code removed,
right.
Then it opens the door really for everybody.
Right. The administrative code is what's handcuffing everyone from getting the permit.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're able to pass your background check and qualify, and your mental health check is okay, and you want to go ahead and get a carry permit, and everything comes back clean. The way we want to have it is, the way that it was actually meant to be, is simply that justifiable need is nothing more than self-protection or lawful purpose, and that's it.
Okay.
I'll tell you a really good story that comes back to women involved in this, because they attacked women in this and said women aren't able to defend themselves with guns because the attacker will steal the woman's gun and then kill her with her own gun. And that's why we're not issuing any carry permits.
How sexist is that? That alone, you'd think all these liberal snowflakes and feminists would go, yeah, they don't care about that.
Tell my daughter that.
So what you guys need to understand about the Sicardi rule and the code, it's a complete violation of the Administrative Procedures Act. So when I told you that Sicardi came out in 71, it actually never made it into the New Jersey record, which by the rules of the Administrative Procedures Act, it has to go through the record, become available for public discourse. We should be able to go in front of the committee and talk about it. Never did that. So the rule was actually started by the investigation unit of the state police sometime in 1970. There's no specific date on it. If you read Sicardi, they actually tell you the rule came from the investigation unit of the state police. It says Sergeant Klaus of the investigation unit of the state police noted that his department was applying stricter standards than the standard we'd been going by before. Then.
Makes sense.
Then you get the law review, which is Franklin Zimling has a law review called the final report. And in the final report, they say women are not able to defend themselves with firearms because the attacker usually just takes the gun from them and kills them. He also came up with the recommendation for the Sicardi rule, limitations if you've been previously attacked or have severe threats. That came from a law review. And then what happened was in Sicardi, they got like seven or eight police chiefs, the Westfield police chief, the Cranford police chief, the Plainfield police chief, Roy was there because Sicardi was from Plainfield. They brought the Shrewsbury police chief, who was the captain of the police chiefs association. And every single one of these guys said carrying a gun is dangerous to the person carrying the gun because the criminal will end up taking the gun and hurting the person carrying the gun, or the attack happens so suddenly the person can't do anything to defend themselves. So that whole testimony was thrown out by Heller. So Heller says it's not up to the government, including the third branch of government, the power to decide on a case-by-case basis whether the right was really worth insisting upon. So you shouldn't have to go in there and talk about your threats or domestic violence, or any, you shouldn't have to say anything. You should just say, I need it to exercise my Second Amendment rights. I need it for self-defense. That's it. Anyway, getting back to the rule. The judge in Sicardi, Jacobs, knows we have a problem here. It's not in the New Jersey record. If you look at the first, in 1968, the New Jersey record, 1 NJR 30, there's nothing in there. It basically says if you pass the shooting test and you pass the background check of 2C, of the purchase permit, you get the carry permit. That's all it says, up until 91. So the judge comes up with this story that the assignment judges furthered the investigation unit's rules and made a court rule, except I have the rules of the court. It's about 5 inches thick. You could search all 5 inches of those, which I don't know how many pages, 2,000 pages. There is no rule of the court that says there's an urgent necessity standard. It's a complete joke. What they did was they tried to make internal court policy to protect what the state police were doing because they knew it was illegal because it didn't go through the Administrative Procedures Act. So then Sicardi picks this up. Jacobs takes it, runs with it, says, well, now it's Supreme Court rule. Kind of sat for 20 years. They brought it back out in Priest. And then if you read the Administrative Code, the New Jersey Record in 1991, 23 NJR 2251, it says
he's good.
Says I'll put that up on Mark's Facebook page. It says we're putting in urgent necessity, basically the Sicardi rule, the way it comes out in Priest. Under the Sicardi rule, you must have specific threats and previous attacks and an urgent necessity for self-protection, and they put it in the code as a rule of the Supreme Court. But, I mean, this couldn't be any more of a bigger scam by government. The state police, the assignment judges, a Supreme Court judge, and a law review all get together to jam this thing in. Who's following this for 40 years? I might be the only dummy reading all this stuff. Who's following this for 40 years? Most of these guys are long gone. So nobody even realizes this thing was a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act all along.
That what a, and then you wonder, Sherry, somebody like you, how tall are you?
5 foot.
5 foot and about 88 pounds. Three kids can't get a carry permit to protect herself, right, in New Jersey because our system has been rigged from how long, Jay, would you say it's been rigged?
Mid-1970.
Mid-1970. That makes sense.
Up until then, you could just walk into your police station, write down self-defense on your application, and that's it.
Growing up in Newark, I remember how many people, business owners had carry permits, police had carry permits, special police had carry permits, and then chiefs and sheriffs and guys like Anthony Imperial, they used to issue carry permits to everybody. They used to deputize people and give them a carry permit.
You understand why we have to go to the police chief and the judge, right? So what happened during the Sullivan laws in New York was guys were selling carry permits for $300. And in
bargain.
In New Jersey, the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office, the guy running it, I think the investigator for him was named Harry P. Crook, was his name.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right? The guy who ran the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office, his brother had a law firm. And so Waxy Gordon and two other really notorious gangsters go to this law firm in Freehold and get carry permits from the Monmouth County Prosecutor's brother. And they give them to this guy, Harry P. Crook, who runs it through the judge in Long Branch, and they give them these guys, and there's a big shootout in Asbury Park in a hotel, and when the cops catch these guys, they're all carrying carry permits.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad the system was.
Wow. Can you imagine Sherry being able to get a carry permit right now? Like just... Like 44 other states,
exactly.
44 other
exactly.
states.
So one more thing about the law review. So the guy's name is Franklin Zimring. He's actually being paid by the government to write this final report, causes and prevention of crime. The original recommendation for the Sicardi rule, if you read Sicardi, if you go back and read, you know, Franklin Zimring final report. The original recommendation was for the 2C58-3 permit to purchase. Imagine that, post teller, right?
Oh,
his original recommendation wasn't for carry permits. It was for purchase permits. Like, you shouldn't be able to buy a handgun unless you have urgent necessities. So that's how bizarre this thing is. The other thing about Zimring is in 1981, he did an article in the New York Times. He was talking about the Bartley Fox law in Massachusetts, and he was being asked by the New York Times reporter whether that curbed crime or not, and he said, criminologists are like gypsy fortune tellers. We don't know what's going to happen with any specific law or whether it has any cause to move the crime rate up or down. So basically the guy who created the Sicardi rule said he's a gypsy fortune teller. He had no idea. They were paid to write a law review. They wrote it. The state police decided to run with it. Mark and I think, back in 1970, the reason the state police stopped giving out the permits was because they wanted to lock on all the security work.
Ah, that's your angle, Mark?
It's got a pretty good, I mean, it makes sense.
Not only state police, but local police.
Yeah, all of them.
Because armed security pays five times more than unarmed security.
Yeah.
Hands down.
It's nice when you can control them. You know, as it turns out, one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good sound advice that you could really trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice and some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over 3 decades, so the insight's real and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. And it's often a little edgy. Parents Are Hard to Raise. Available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio or at parentsarehardtoraise.org.
And I just want to thank well, these guys for driving up here. I want to thank Sherry for coming up. It's epic so far, and it's important that we play angles like this because, you know, you're not a lawyer, are you, Jay?
No, I just was upset I didn't get my permit, so I read some books.
What do you do for a living normally?
My wife and I own a pharmacy.
Oh, okay. I need some propofol. Talk to me at the end of the show, please. All right. Remember Michael Jackson used to go to sleep at night?
I don't think we have that.
Damn. Anyway, Mark, you've been a little quiet on this. Talk to us, because I know you're frustrated, your activism. You're one of these guys like me. You say you're not moving. We're going to continue to fight. How can people help you? How can people help you and Jay to further this cause? What do we need to do? I'm ready to write a donation check. You just tell me who to make it out to.
Yeah, I've had a number of people say, you know what, this sounds good. I like what you're doing. And where do I send the money? All right, we haven't opened that up yet. I want to see how the appellate court reacts to this. I want to see where we're going to go with this.
Okay.
All right, before we start taking donations. So hopefully, we everything turns out okay. And we will be opening, starting a GoFundMe site within the next 2-3 weeks.
All right, that's good. I want to know
be
that.
Crystal clear.
Because we're going to have you guys back on. We're going to keep updates on this. I want to keep it alive. And I'll pimp out that GoFundMe page and everything.
I'm not 60 years old by the time this comes to an end. I hope to get this wrapped up within the next year or two, hopefully.
I hope so,
if
too.
If not sooner.
Is it like we got like Sherry from the SAW group? What we want to do is we want to have all of these groups, diversity shooting everybody. We want to spread the message and get them to support a case like this. You know, Jay put all of this hard work into it, working with you. You know, we don't want to see it die on the vine. So if it's going to require, but now you already said, Jay said during a break that they'd be willing to help take help from legal eagles like 2A lawyers, but they ain't changing your argument, correct? Correct.
We want to keep the core the same.
Okay. Which I understand, because if I was a big gun attorney, I might want to come in, I want to put my mark on it and say, well, I don't like this, but I like that. And let's say, I commend you guys for maintaining, you know, your value and your point of focus on this. Because who knows? You know, Sandy over there talks about it all the time. In the pharmacy here, every great medical marvel has been from somebody marching in the wrong direction, right?
Right.
Because most people say, this is the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
This is the way we've... Well, we've been losing for 40 years. Maybe it's not the way we should have done it.
Yeah, and we talked about that. Me, Jay, and John, we talked about that. You know, and this is a combination of cases won and lost in this brief. We looked at where the mistakes were made, and we reviewed what a judge might say and what would be our answer. So we're trying to predict in the brief and give a good answer that will help us move forward.
We kind of know what they're going to say just by reading the other cases. So one of the reasons I hooked up with Mark is Mark isn't looking to get a permit from Mark.
Yes.
Mark's looking to get a permit for everybody. And that's what I'm trying to do. I could probably reapply, use this argument just for myself, not make a big deal about it, and get it passed through.
They'll
just give it to him and he dropped the case.
Go away, big guy.
Yeah, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get everybody who's what they called them in Burton v. Sills was the fit elements of society. If you're a fit element of society, if you pass the background checks and you have a concern, you should be able to get your carry permit, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, truth be known, I didn't own a pistol really until 5 years ago.
We're not going to hold that against you.
I have been shooting since I was 7, but it was all shotguns and rifles down where I live.
Were you a FUD?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, reformed FUD on the radio show.
186 acres. We go out and shoot bottles, cans, and whatever the hell moved out there. On any given day, it didn't matter back then. You know, it was no big deal. I bought a pistol. We moved into our home now. The street started getting bad. I said to my wife, I said, you know, I think I need to get a pistol. And she's like, no, I don't think you need one, damn it. And I said, well, it's either the pistol or a lawyer. What do you want? She says, all right, get a pistol. I figured it would be okay to carry one.
Now,
I knew nothing about it. I had no clue. So I went and I applied for a carry permit and denied. But I passed everything else.
Felon.
I'm mentally sound, at least they think I am. And, you know, I got a clean record here. Yeah, I'm going to appeal it. So I appealed it to the Gloucester County Municipal Court, and the judge, it seemed like he was pro 2A. It's like he wanted to give it to me.
but he's got peer pressure.
Yeah, he had a lot of peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Actually, he did say, I agree with you. I think you're right, but I'm bound by the law.
Yeah. There's also
but you can appeal my decision. And I said, fair enough. Okay.
There's a reason only one judge in each county decides to carry permit cases. There's a reason.
Because the assignment judge gives an anti-gun judge those cases.
Well, it came from Sicardi. That all comes from Sicardi when they decided to do that because they don't want a judge who is pro-2A, who hears Mark's story and says, I think you have need. I'm giving you a permit. Because then Sherry goes down and goes, Mark has one. I want one too.
Jay, I have pro-2A judges that shoot here and are members from four counties. All four of them do not get gun cases from the assignment judges because the assignment judge is a political position.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Mark, right. You didn't know that. So no. 99% of the time, the judge you're going before was assigned the case because they know it's a slam dunk. Now, here's a serious question, and you guys might get offended by it, but, Jay, this is really more for you. Does it help, hurt, or is it neutral that Mark is a white male applying for the permit? Would his case be better if it was Sherry and she was Spanish, LGBTQ, XYZ, and handicapped and anything else we can think of?
I was just thinking that her group could write an amicus brief for Mark about why their group thinks they should be able to have permits. At the same time, I don't think it matters that Mark is a white guy at all. We're not re-arguing the Second Amendment. We're not arguing justifiable need. It's really a technicality of law. Heller has changed the law, and New Jersey still thinks they can do stuff like it's 1970. And we're calling them out on it, and that's it. It's really just a pure matter of technical law.
But because I just the narrative, because I'm probably wrong in that question, because Shanine Allen was a single black mom with no record, and the prosecutor wanted to fry her ass, and the judge wanted to fry her ass too. So I guess maybe it doesn't have bearing. That we can. This is one area where the courts are colorblind.
Isn't it amazing when what was the lady's name?
Shanine Allen.
Shanine. Isn't it amazing that the statute says it's supposed to be an informal hearing when you get denied by the police chief and you go to the judge? The whole reason our gun control law was ruled constitutional was because of the appeal process. Except then Shanine gets there and she's getting beat up by the chief of police, she's getting beat up by the prosecutor, and she's getting beat up by the judge. God help her if she goes pro se, because they're just going to hammer her on courtroom procedure and she's never going to get to say a word.
I mean, the other thing, too, is the county she was caught in. You'll see a big difference from county to county in New Jersey. She was actually in Atlantic County, and Atlantic County is notorious for nailing people against the law.
Yes. Yes, because they like what they want to make. Then we had a corrections officer with a gun in his glove compartment from Pennsylvania in a car accident. And when he got out of the hospital, they locked him up for illegal possession of a firearm.
Yeah.
He went to Atlantic City for a weekend with his wife.
It's ridiculous.
Sherry, how many people in the SAW group classes do you educate? How many women do you educate with firearms laws? It's never ending, right? It's just like
and
Mark.
And I'm not a lawyer, so.
Yeah, but it's just like Mark. They have an awakening one day and go, oh, I'm going to get a carry permit. Uh-huh. And they go and apply for it, and they're like, oh, shit. And then they find out, when we talk about transportation, you know, deviations in New Jersey. Our laws are stupid. Knappen used that term, we're law-abiding criminals. And don't forget, we own guns by way of exemption in New Jersey, right, Jay?
My judge told me I had the right to own a gun, not to carry it, as if the keep and bear arm clause was one unifying clause that it just meant I could keep at my house.
Unifying clause.
What is the message that you have that you guys want, for example, for me to share with the women in our group as far as your case? You've said a lot of interesting things here, things that I didn't know. Like,
this is what I think. I think you weigh 110 pounds soaking wet. I weigh 280. So in a bad situation, I'm probably much better off than you are. The great equalizer is the ability to be on. Mm-hmm. So whatever's going on in your life, personal problems, work problems, you carry a lot of money, you take your kids to the circus. It doesn't matter. If you decide you need to be on a more playing field, that's what the Second Amendment was designed for. It was designed for you and Mark to be able to go down and get a permit. Our case isn't about re-arguing Heller. It's not about re-arguing the Second Amendment. That's done. It's not about re-arguing McDonald. That's done. All we're trying to do is say, you know what? We have just as many civil rights in New Jersey as everybody else does. Just because
But New Jersey's different.
Well, they say we don't have our own Second Amendment, right?
But New Jersey's different. That's what all our politicians say.
There's page 305 in volume 5 of the New Jersey debates of the Constitution from 1947 that when they put the segregation in the militia clause, which is Article 1-5, they spent two pages, the lawyers that put that clause together, the guy who put it in there was a black guy named Oliver Randolph, and he was concerned that the government would take guns away from the blacks by making them cooks in the army, and then saying they had no right to bear arms. That was what his concern was. He was like coming off of Jim Crow laws back then. He was worried that we would disarm the blacks in that manner. So the no segregation in the militia clause in the New Jersey State Constitution, if you read the debates of the Constitution, they spend two pages going, we don't need the right to keep and bear arms in the New Jersey Constitution. Everybody knows we have it. It's in the federal Constitution. We've had it in New Jersey since 1776, when we decided to get rid of the king. So it's very interesting that the government that put our Constitution together always thought we had it. And yet, when the government decided it was better for them to keep all the carry permits locked up, except for who gets them? Retired police officers, right? Does the judge that decides your case get to carry one? Oh, yeah, he gets to carry one. How about the prosecutor? Oh, yeah, he gets one. Everybody except for us, right? We just get to pay taxes. So when the Constitution was put together, the guys who put it together in 47 said we have the right to bear arms, and it exists as a civil right in Article 1-5 of the Constitution.
I think the message basically is integrity. We want to accomplish this for everybody. The bottom line with me anyway is going to be integrity. All right, we need to stick to our guns. Literally, we want to get this taken care of once and for all. Settle it for everybody in this state. That's my message.
I love the message. I'm telling you right now. Mark, how do people contact you again? Let's re-review right now the Facebook page.
I keep going blank on the name of that page. It's the New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate.
New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate. Anybody has a problem with that, just come to one of the Gun for Hire pages, and I'll link you right up to Mark Cheeseman.
I'm on 8 or 9 of them. You'll find me.
But you'll definitely find them. Sherry, you like this angle?
Yes.
Okay. How do people find the SAW group?
SawShootingClub.com, and you can link to our Facebook from there.
Okay. SawShootingClub.com.
Did you say $25 a year?
Right. Mark is aghast. $25 a year, and you get 10% off everything at the Woodland Park Range, Gun for Hire. If you buy a membership, the lowest level membership, that paid for your membership discount and paid for your membership for the SAW group. So I want everybody to know that we're behind you 100%, Mark and Jay, on this. And Sherry, you know we're behind you 100%. And we're going to be filling, we're going to be having buses and everything. ANGRPC, when we have to rally in Trenton, we're going to do it like we've done it before. We're going to have buses from all points around the state going to Trenton, because we're going to have to use some shock and awe. There is no more backroom dealings, because there's no one in the back rooms to talk to us anymore.
There's a lot of grumbling right now.
We're done. We're done. And we're going to have to fight it face on. We're going to have to make the legislators pay for it with pressure and embarrassment when the fight comes to our door, and it's literally weeks away. I just want to remember that Scott Bach is running for re-election in the NRA board. He's also executive vice president of, executive director of ANJRPC. His page is scottbach.com. I'm urging you to vote and show your support. SAW Shooting Group, what is it? SawShootingClub.com. Mark Cheeseman, New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate. Jay Factor here. I can't believe you're not a lawyer and you're a pharmacist. We got to talk about that later on. We have a whole level of classes coming up. We have cane classes. We have knife classes. Prepping 101 is February 24th. Holster draw February 22nd. Thank you all for coming on the show. You two guys, thank you for trekking up here. As soon as that GoFundMe page is up, I'm going to be your first high donor, and I'm going to be pitching it to everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sandy?
Well, it looks like you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please, guys, each one, reach one, spread the word. We really need new shooters, especially in the state of New Jersey, because that's the only way it's going to work. Love you guys. See you next week.